Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 104.
Let me tell you about two students.
Student A is a straight-A student who lives in the suburbs of Los Angeles. He plays in a punk band with his best friends. He loves his skateboard and riding his BMX bike. His favorite TV show is Game of Thrones, and his favorite band is The Thermals. He's a 90s hip-hop geek. Student B goes to an underfunded school where teachers who rather not be there teach kids who really don't care. He lives with a single mother, doesn't know his father, and has sold dope. Now close your eyes. Picture each of these kids and tell me what you see. Be honest. No one's gonna judge you. Now open your eyes.
So am I student A or student B? Am I a geek or a menace? For most of my life, I've been caught in between who I really am and how I'm perceived, in between categories and definition. I don't fit in. And I used to think that that was a curse, but now I'm slowly starting to see. Maybe it's a blessing. See, when you don't fit in, you're forced to see the world from many different angles and points of view. You gain knowledge, life lessons from disparate people and places. And those lessons, for better or worse, have shaped me. So who am I? Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Malcolm Adekambi. I'm a straight-A student with nearly perfect SAT scores. I taught myself how to play guitar and read music. I have stellar recommendations and diverse extracurricular activities. I'm a Google Science Fair participant, and in 3 weeks, I helped make over $100,000 for an online business. So why do I want to attend Harvard? If I was white, would you even have to ask me that question?
What group am I in?
What?
Yesterday, you were saying you've mapped out the entire high school by group. What's my group?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Boring Jewish senior girls subgroup 2A. Please appreciate how honest that was just now.
You're an asshole. What group are you in?
I'm not in a group, actually. I just wouldn't belong to a group that doesn't suck. You know, I'm terminally awkward and have a face like a little groundhog, so.
You can't really think that.
No, I don't think that. I know that. I just feel like, you know, for a kid like me, in high school, best case scenario, just survive, you know? Survive without creating any mortal enemies or hideously embarrassing yourself forever.
Just survive until college?
College? No. God, college is going to be even worse.
I mean, I'm sure what you went through out there was horrible. It wasn't easy here. Calendar for the first few months after they left. And then after a while, I just realized it didn't matter. They were, it seemed stupid. I'm gonna stop thinking about how many days were going by. I was really sick of being on my own, you know? I just didn't want to be on my own anymore. What I'm saying is that you come and made me want to go through it all again. And not just somebody. You.
Do you remember how Alice wasn't always in Wonderland?
She fell down, 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 deep in a hole.
Right, well, I wasn't always in room. I'm like Alice. I was a little girl named Joy.
Nah.
And I lived in a house with my mom and my dad. You would call them Grandma and Grandpa.
What house?
A house. It was in the world. And there was a backyard, and we had a hammock. And we would swing in the hammock, and we would eat ice cream.
A TV house?
No, Jack, a real house, not TV. Are you even listening to me? When I was a little older, when I was 17, I was walking home
from
school.
Where was I?
You were still up in heaven. But there was a guy. He pretended that his dog was sick.
What guy?
Old Nick. We call him Old Nick. I don't know what his real name is. But he pretended his dog was sick.
What's the dog's name?
Jack, there wasn't a dog. He was trying to trick me. Okay? There wasn't a dog. Old Nick stole me.
I want a different story.
No, this is the story that you get. He put me in his garden shed. Here. Room is the shed.
Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I am your host, Rachel Zeleg, and along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Gabrielle Williams.
Hello.
In this episode, we are joined once again by Katie O'Brien and Annelle Strauss. This is for concluding our theme of movies we missed in 2015 with a discussion on the films Dope, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, Z for Zachariah, and Room! Before getting into our discussion, we should mention that we are brought to you by the Deliberate Noise Network. Get your asses to DeliberateNoise.com and check out some of their other shows. Drink, roll call time, Eric.
I'll just have Strauss do it since she made the drinks for us. It's vodka and something.
And the LaCroix.
Which flavor?
We did the grapefruit and the lemon mix.
Ooh, a little citrus action.
Yeah. How about Younger Cruise?
We've been sticking with champagne pretty much all day.
Yes.
So, and Elle's been on a big champagne kick recently.
Yeah. I've been going for some Prosecco and Brutes. Extra dry.
Oh, yeah.
So champagne.
Champagne.
What kind of real friends?
Real pain from a sham friend.
What kind of champagne are you drinking?
The classiest of them all. It's Cook's.
Yes. Is it the sweeter or the drier?
Really, really, really dry.
Okay, there you go.
Smart.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Annelle approves.
Yep. We should have a champagne day.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Well, every day can be champagne day. Try hard enough.
I know. You can wake up at any time and drink champagne, and it's fine.
Oh, you know what? Before we get going, Rachel, tell everyone about your Saturday at 2 o'clock theory.
Oh, Two Anya?
Yeah, Two Anya. Tell everybody about that. Right, because Annelle was trying to explain it to me, and I had no idea what she was saying.
Yes.
Oh.
And she was saying, no, it's a Rachel thing.
It's a Rachel and Sadie thing.
Oh, okay.
And we are... I think that the best time of the entire week is Saturday at 2 o'clock because you can get yourself involved in any sort of crazy shenanigans if you start having fun at 2.
Yeah.
And so every time we're doing something, like, I'll get a text from Sadie at 2 o'clock on a Saturday that'll say, two on ya. And she'll usually be, you know, having a good time. Sometimes I am, it depends. So we were just going to open a bar that was going to say two, because two on Saturday, I guess, is where the two on comes from. But so, yeah, that's what we're going to open a bar called Two On Ya.
There you go. I like it.
Yeah, sounds what successful. Are you,
what are you having to drink, Cruz?
I am drinking a Sam Adams Cold Snap because I firmly believe that winter is over. So.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm
going to
make a new drink.
Okay. Sorry. And I was... making another drink.
Why has a bunch of cat hair in it? It's fucking gross.
Something's got it. I don't know what happened to it. So while she's away, I guess we can go ahead and make a little announcement. Before getting into our discussion, as some of you may have noticed, after 4 years, we've become a little bit more sporadic in our release schedule the last couple weeks. And this is mainly due to the amount of work required for me and my job and my... inability to watch the movies. So what we're going to do, rather than continue to struggle on through and trying to keep a weekly pace going, we're going to put the show on hiatus for a few months, stockpile some episodes, and then continue on with a weekly schedule after we come back. So don't unsubscribe, don't email me and message me wondering where the episodes are. We're going to be on a little bit of a hiatus. We may actually play some old episodes. I have yet to discuss that with Rachel, but we may do that just for fun.
Like a best of.
In the meantime, or worst of.
Yeah.
If you listen to some of the really early ones. So
where Eric was really grumpy.
Well, not so much that as it sounded like shit.
Right, and we're both like, oh, should we talk about movies now?
Yeah, what are we gonna say in words and whatever and. Yeah. So, so just kind of hang in there for a couple of months, and we'll be back in a little bit on a more regular
after
basis.
After our wedding.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. About the wedding or?
Well.
Yeah. The show.
Well.
The other option is to call your job and tell them that you need more time to watch movies.
Yeah, I'll say, hey, this about 16 hours or so a day that we figured out that's devoted to school-related stuff has got to go, so.
Yeah, record that call, because I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, definitely. We could just put that on next for the next time.
Oh, there you go.
That'd be good.
How Eric got fired.
Yeah. Well, I already quit, so.
And never got hired again.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, I mean, I got this whole, like, freedom around me to where no one really bothers me anymore since
right.
I resigned.
Yes, meningitis, basically.
Yeah, so it's like, I can just kind of do whatever, so. I don't know, I mean, they have me in charge of the yearbook, and I feel like that's kind of a dangerous proposition.
Right? Wait, no, stop, don't.
Yeah, it's like, guys, you should probably work, I don't care, do whatever you want.
Yeah. He'll get it done, you know.
Anyway, okay, so our first movie for this episode, it is Katie's pick. It was from June, and it is Dope.
Hey, you go to high school in Inglewood, you think you're gonna get into Harvard?
I'm from a poor, crime-filled neighborhood, raised by a single mother, don't know my dad, blah blah.
It's cliche.
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Malcolm Adekambi. I'm a straight-A student with nearly perfect SAT scores.
He probably got like one of them photogenic brains.
You mean photographic memory?
What'd I just say?
I mean, yeah, you said it. Yeah, just reiterating.
I play in a punk band with my friends, and I'm a 90s hip-hop geek.
You gonna say something or just stare at me?
A bad day for most geeks would be being the butt of jokes.
Some brother really needs to invent an app like Waze to avoid all these hood traps.
It is time we started expanding our horizons.
We're not going to a drug dealer's birthday party.
But when you live in the bottoms...
Well, I'll go if you go.
A bad day could look like this.
We were dancing, man.
If I let this slide, we got what they call a slippery slope. You know what a slippery slope is?
Dude got anything to do with skiing?
Shut your ass down.
Don't make a slide. Do you have what I left in the backpack?
Did he actually say I'll kill you and your friends if you don't get rid of these drugs, or just you? Don't act like you weren't curious, too.
Hey, all we gotta do is find the white people. Go to Coachella, Lollapalooza.
We don't know nothing about drugs. You do.
We need to know if you're gonna help us.
Okay.
Nobody's gonna suspect a thing. We're just geeks doing what geeks do.
I don't wanna go to jail. I wanna go to college.
Ah, slippery slope.
Exactly.
You play with me, my little boy from the hood?
Hey, wait.
I am the authority in keeping a proper brother to Horatio. So unless you got some boobies.
What? Like, boys don't cry.
Remember we were saying that?
I remember that.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Malcolm Adekambi.
Can you dig it?
You can call me N-word, and I can't say it.
Technically, he shouldn't be able to say the word. Why can he
okay,
use it?
Because I'm 14% African. Ancestry.com.
Look, just say the damn word. You're my...
That was a reflex.
A coming-of-age comedy drama, or dramedy, for the post-hip-hop generation... Malcolm is a geek, carefully surviving life in the Bottoms, a tough neighborhood in Inglewood, California, not to be confused with Bikini Bottom, filled with gangsters and drug dealers, while juggling his senior year of college applications, interviews, and the SAT. His dream is to attend Harvard. A chance invitation to a big underground party leads Malcolm and his friends into an only-in-Los-Angeles gritty adventure filled with offbeat characters and bad choices. If Malcolm can persevere, he'll go from being a geek to being dope to ultimately being himself. Okay, that was interesting.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah, right.
Not the best. Not my best work.
Right.
Which is not true. I don't write these. So, this is Katie's pick. Katie, tell me why you picked this one.
I want to say that it was a preview on a DVD that I watch regularly, so I saw it. I think it was a preview on The Heat? I don't know if that timing is right. It's a movie that I watch a lot. Can't tell you which one it is. And so I kept seeing it, and I thought it was a movie about the 90s.
90s, early 2000s.
Right. Yeah. Of how he dressed. I was very surprised to find that it was present day. And mostly I liked the typeface of the title of the movie, so that's why I picked it.
Graphic design wins out.
Right?
I like this Comic Sans choice.
Oh,
God.
Yeah. Hang up. I just gotta carry that through, just like how Rachel does with the old boy stuff, so.
Right.
Yeah. okay, so that's an interesting way to select by the typeface. Right. I remember when we got the text and it said dope question mark. And I was like, is that a movie? Is this a deal?
Oh, yeah. Eric was like, what is that? I was like, it must be a movie title. Look it up.
Cause I had never even heard of it.
Oh, really?
No.
But it's a good pick.
It was a good pick. So none of us had any history with this. None of us really were, you know, anticipating the release or anything like that. But yeah, I'd say, starting us off, I really enjoyed it quite a bit. It did feel to me like a 90s kind of movie in the best way, in mm-hmm. that it wasn't trying to make some grand political statement. It wasn't trying to show some kid making something of himself and then changing the world. It was just a day or a few days when this kid was going through some shit and how he became a better person because of it.
Right.
You know? And I was really glad with the sort of simplicity of the overall story, even though there's a lot of, you know, different things that happen to him mm-hmm. throughout the movie. But I kind of liked that it was a smaller film like that.
Right.
So, Rachel Cruz, what did you think?
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I do have some history with this film.
Oh.
I fell asleep while Brad was watching it one night on Netflix, and I woke up an hour later and he was like LOLing in bed. And I was like, what is so funny? He's like, this guy just cannot catch a break. I was like, Brad, I have to watch that movie that you watched. And he was like, oh, it's really good. So that is my semi-history with that. Mm. Also, Katie and I went to Red Rocks this summer, and on our road trip, we play this game called Initials, where you say someone's initials, and then you get to ask yes-no questions. So, like, my favorite example is DD is obviously Danny DeVito, but you say, like, is it an actor, blah, blah, blah. And so Katie kept naming people from the late 90s, early 2000s, to the point where, like, it became a comment and not even a question. So I'd be like, actor? And she'd be like, yeah, I'm like, late 90s, early 2000s. And she's like, yep. And so that's kind of funny that she picked this, because mm-hmm. it's just right in her wheelhouse of ridiculousness. that having been said, I really did like this movie, too. It was, like you said, it's kind of funny to say it's, like, a naive little picture, but I mean, like, from the point of view of where these kids are coming from, it really was. Like, they weren't doing drugs, you know, it wasn't like a gritty, this is, you know, I mean, like, there were guns being pulled, but normally these kids are, like, in the science lab, which is adorable, and so, it was just kind of an interesting, little, you know, chase movie, and, there was a little bit political at the end there, in his, application to Harvard, but
the second to last line.
Yeah. But yeah, I liked it a lot, actually.
Katie O'Brien, what else do you have to say about this one? Like, what did you think of it overall?
I liked it. You know, like you said, it was really easy. It reminded me sort of the plot of 21. Like, you have a kid who's trying to get into an Ivy League school from maybe a not so nice area. And then he is told that he needs something interesting to write about. And then this crazy thing happens to him. And then he has something to write about. Mm-hmm. And, it sort of reminded me of that. It also made it really easy for me to sort of predict things, I guess. I know, like, there were some, like, curveballs that were thrown, like
pissing in the bushes.
Yeah, and the weird thing with the sister being naked openly in front of everyone.
Yeah.
But aside from that, like, it was an easy watch, I guess, is a good way for me to say that. I don't know.
Strauss, what did you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I, when Katie said that she had watched it, we said that we needed the soundtrack.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole, like, after the movie was over, Eric and I were looking up, like, Salt and Pepper, like, just just having a little 90s, you know.
Whatever. A little 90s hip-hop
yeah,
rap
a little
party.
Jam out yeah. sesh.
Which no one would ever be mad about, because it was a great time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like, yeah, it was an easy watch, definitely. It left you with, like, a happy mood, and mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I did too.
I liked that he had that, you know, because everybody has their group of friends that they introduce at the beginning, and I really liked that he had that lesbian friend. That was just that,
I know.
Like, twist to the usual, like, threesome of whatever, and sometimes it's a girl and sometimes it's, like, three dudes, and I just felt like that was perfect, and she was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was good. I'm glad that they didn't play it up too much, but they played it up just enough to where, you know, she was checking out the sister too, and those sorts
right.
of things.
Yeah.
Try to help her pray the gay away.
God, that was hilarious.
And then she tried helping to get into the club.
Yeah. That was funny.
So yeah, I mean, it just felt like a nice little picture, and one that was, you know, I wouldn't ever be upset of just flipping through channels and seeing this on and just sitting and watching it.
Yeah.
Right.
Or having it on.
I would like suggest this like to people to watch it.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
it's on,
like, if you want a lighthearted movie, you should watch this.
Sure, it's on Netflix Instant, you know, it's widely available to see. It's probably what, like, an hour and a half or so. It's not an overly long film.
You'll listen to some good jams.
I do think it's really funny though that they just decided to embrace 90s hip hop.
Right.
Yes.
And they're just like, you know what, we're gonna dance like this. I'm just going to have the haircut from the day.
Sweet flat top.
Yeah.
Seriously. That's why I thought it was a movie set in a different time.
Right.
Because, you
well,
know, he's
the
on the front of it.
Clothes, too. Like, where do you yeah. find those clothes?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, so I really was kind of endeared to that when I saw that they were just like, you know what, the hell with it. We're just going to be our own people and dress like this.
Yeah.
Right.
And sure,
it
we get our ass
me, it took me almost half of the movie to realize that one the sidekick friend that was a boy was the kid from Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yes!
Oh,
oh my
yeah.
god,
like,
I didn't know.
I was like, why do I know it? But he looked so much like a kid in this
kid.
Movie. And this movie is after.
Yeah, because they
I don't
did
know
that last
how
year,
they
yeah.
did that. But,
oh, yeah.
God, I was like, what is he from? For the love of God. And I wouldn't let myself look it up. I was like, I'm going to figure it out.
Nice. Picture with a
did.
Really
tiny thin
mustache.
Hand-drawn mustache. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
well,
crazy.
I have something to say about not looking something up when we get to one of our later films. So hopefully I'll remember.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
We'll try to remind you.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Does anybody have anything else about Dope? I think, you know, the only detriment about the film is for this conversation, there's not a whole lot really
whole
to
lot
dig
to
into.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
well done.
Don't do drugs. Stay in school.
Right.
If you have the opportunity to sell some drugs and make money, do that too.
Don't
do
pee
it
in
on
a,
the internet.
Yeah, don't pee in a bush.
Just use Bitcoin, apparently.
And blackmail your advisor. Because...
Yes.
Oh, God. By the way, that guy's voice was like the most grating thing I've ever heard. I almost wanted to mute it when he had to talk.
Really?
It was the, like, admissions guy, like the girl's dad.
Yeah.
Like this kid's dad, and he like had like a whispery voice, and it was unbearable for me to listen to.
It didn't seem to match the way that he looked either. I was like,
right.
He shouldn't be talking this way.
Right.
It's weird.
Anyway.
All right. Well, is there anything else about that one before we move on?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Our next film is from July of 2015. This is my selection, I believe. Yes. Yes.
I think so.
I had to make sure.
Yes.
It is called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
I have no idea how to tell this story. I don't even know how to start it. This is the story of my senior year of high school and how it destroyed my life.
Your father and I want to talk to you about something sad. Rachel Kushner has been diagnosed with leukemia.
That sucks.
It sucks.
It sucks quite a bit.
You might be someone who could make Rachel feel better.
I don't need your stupid pity.
I'm not here because I pity you. I'm actually here because my mom is making me. It's actually worse. Everyone was gonna find out sooner or later.
One thing you can do if you don't want to talk to anyone is just enter a subhuman state. Pretend you're someone annoying.
Hi, Rachel. I'm really sorry you have cancer.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So if this was a touching romantic story, our eyes would meet and suddenly we would be furiously making out with the fire of a thousand suns. But this isn't a touching romantic story.
Anyway.
Yep. Who is this little friend?
Earl's just my coworker.
I've known him since kindergarten.
What you got, cat? Wanna fight? Didn't think so, punk-ass cat.
So you and Greg are co-workers?
Nah, we friends. Dude's terrified of calling somebody his friend. Dude's got issues.
But how are you co-workers?
We make films.
Movies?
They're terrible.
Greg, you never told me.
The idea behind each one was, we took a film that we liked, and we made the title stupider, and then made a new film to reflect the new title. It's a formula that only produces horrible films, but for some reason we keep using it.
You need to make a film for Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. I don't really know you, but I believe in you.
I know you're Jewish, but God has a plan for you.
Out of all the people in the school, I don't hate you.
Damn.
You guys were making a movie for me.
We tried a bunch of stuff and it's not that good.
Now's not the time for your I'm Greg, I suck, nothing I do is any good thing.
We agreed to do a film that we have no idea what it should look like or even be. What was I thinking?
I'm so tired of you treating this girl like she a burden. Because somebody actually cares about you, her life is over after this.
Life can keep unfolding itself to you just as long as you pay attention to it.
It was the best of times. Worst of times.
It's so much harder than I thought it would be.
It was life.
Seventeen-year-old Greg has managed to become part of every social group at his Pittsburgh high school without having any friends, but his life changes when his mother forces him to befriend Rachel, a girl he once knew in Hebrew school who has leukemia. It's pretty straight to the point.
Yes, it is. So this movie was at the beginning of something else that we had watched.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when, you know, there was a bunch of movies that I missed, in quotes, from 2015 that were higher profile, like Ant-Man, like Black Mass that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, there's a lot that we would have wanted to pick, but they're not out yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, like Macbeth and Creed and Crimson Peak and all of these different movies, but they're not available. And so I was kind of frustrated by that, and we saw this kind of cute-looking indie film that was guaranteed to be sad, is kind of the way that it seemed by the trailer. And so I was like, oh, what the hell, I'm Debbie Downer. Typically, I'll pick the sad one.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I was like, what the fuck, I'll bring the house down, whatever. And so I watched this and I was so struck by how similar the premise seemed to Be Kind Rewind, the movie with Most Death.
Jack Black and
Jack Black, yeah. To where it was, you know, we're going to take this movie and we're going to make our own versions of them.
Yes.
And when I watched that movie, I was so disappointed at how it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. Yeah. And I kind of felt like that's what this filmmaker thought too. It was like, well, I didn't really like that. That premise is good, but that movie wasn't great. So maybe I'll just make it and I'll have something else put along with it besides the movies.
We're going to do a rewrite.
Yeah. We're going to use that for something, this whole making movies thing, but I didn't really like how that worked out. So that's kind of how I came to it and what I thought, it was going to be, I guess. So
you didn't like how it worked out in this one?
No. In Be Kind Rewind, I didn't like it.
Right.
Kind of petered out.
Yeah. Be Kind Rewind, I thought it was going to be really funny, and it was okay, but it wasn't really
riveting.
That good, I didn't think. So, how about Rachel Cruz? What did you think of Me and Earl and the Dying Girl? Deep sigh.
So I bought the book The Fall in Our Stars basically on a Katie premise, thinking that like, ooh, it looks, the title sounds cool and like it kind of looks cool. And I got like, I want to say 10 pages in and I'm like, nope. And it has sat on my shelf since then. Cause like, I refuse to feel the feelings of it. I'm just not. So like, fuck you, first of all, for this movie. So I thought this was going to be a cute little movie, you know, like we do the introductions and we have the chat. But it really, I mean, at least for me, it caught me by surprise at how, like, actually funny he was, or how, like, you know, I thought it would just be kind of a cookie cutter coming of age, you know, movie, but, I thought the dialogue was really funny, and I thought it was, like his relationship and the fact that I really appreciated that we didn't do the whole Nicholas Sparks, we fall in love with each other bullshit.
Uh-huh. Right?
And so, yeah, I really liked this movie, and of course I sobbed like a little bitch at the end, so.
Yes, we'll get to that.
And so I don't know, like I, even like after watching it, I still think about this movie, and so I must have done something to my little Rachel brain, so I don't know, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, what I was mentioning earlier about not wanting to look things up is we got through all four of the movies and could not for the life of me think of this movie. And I was so, like, of course I was so upset because I don't, you know, I like to know a lot about a lot, right?
Right.
But I was pissed because I was like, what the fuck was the other movie that we...
Because we watched this one at the very beginning, like the very first
this
movie.
This I think was the first one we watched. And so I was not real pleased with the fact that I couldn't come up with it. And then Anel had said, well, that must mean that it didn't make that much of an impact.
Yeah.
And then
at the same time, it did though.
But then it did, because when we watched it, like I really liked it, and they definitely had me suckered when he says, oh, you know, she doesn't die. It's not mm-hmm. that kind of a movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
I believe that.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. And
I looked it up immediately.
Oh, boo.
You're the worst.
Sad.
That's like reading the end page of a book.
No, it's not. It's
no, like that's like reading the end of a book
and putting a book back on the shelf. Ugh. Of course she dies at the end, you dummies.
I had a feeling, but I didn't want to believe it.
You know, I didn't know what was going on. I was okay with not knowing, I guess.
Right.
And I did enjoy the whole premise of him being this guy who is friends with everyone but not really friends with any of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, wow, hello, high school. Like, that seems familiar.
Yeah.
and so I was like, I like that. And then I liked how it was very aware of itself, like you were saying, about it not falling into the Nicholas Sparks type tropes.
Yeah.
And not being like, well, here's where we would kiss, but instead we sat awkwardly next to each other
and talked about female pillows
and masturbating under
pillows. Masturbating
on
pillows.
The fluffy pillow.
I'll be the person that points it out, because I know we all thought it, but Anel's twin.
Oh my
this
god
movie.
What? Yeah,
that girl showed up on screen and I was like, what
is that? Anel, I thought it might
is
have been
she in this movie. Is that why they picked this?
Yeah.
I didn't think that at all.
Are you what? Serious?
No, that never crossed my mind.
My first thing that I wrote down.
I didn't even know you had a little sister, so that's weird.
Huh.
Well, like, I'm looking it up now because I...
That girl looks just like Anel. Are you serious?
What's wrong with you, two?
The hot one
that's not... Hello. She apparently looks like
mirror?
My wife-to-be, and I didn't pick it out.
Well, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, well, we're gonna look that up.
We'll figure it out.
Okay. One of my favorite parts about this movie was Molly Shannon.
Really? I didn't like her in this.
I loved her in this. I liked it because she normally plays the character that's like ridiculous in every way.
So you didn't like her or you did?
I did like her.
Okay.
I didn't.
Because
oh, right.
I felt like normally when you see her in a movie, you just expect her to be ridiculous. And not that she wasn't ridiculous, but mm-hmm. she was like really silly or has like some funny quirk usually just because of her SNL background.
Yeah.
But she didn't have that in this movie. Like she wasn't like really funny. Like she was like actually struggling and going through a lot. And I think she did really well.
I feel like she portrayed a mom that like in real life deals with shit like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer to the door half drunk and with a glass of wine, and I'm going to offer it to these teenage kids because my daughter's dying. Right. Like,
yeah.
That seems
my
real.
Husband left me. My daughter is dying. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going through some shit right now, and I don't have anybody. And that, like, you know, she like clings on to every person that she sees because she just needs to like word vomit. Like, he's interviewing her and asking her these questions, and she's like turning it around and just using it as a way to talk about something. Mm. And I thought she did a good job of playing that character. I was surprised.
Did you get a Mrs. Robinson vibe from her?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. She was trying. I felt like I thought she was going to sexually come on to them for sure.
Okay.
I thought Earl was going to get it for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's like, I think you're right. I think she did a good job. And I think that her character was going through a lot of shit. But that part to me just like turned me off for some reason. Like, I just was kind of annoyed by that, just that specific like part of her character.
I will say that
it's uncomfortable for sure.
Yeah.
I'll say that her character was uncomfortable, but I think that this is my favorite performance by her.
Right. That's what I'm trying to
right.
say.
Right. No, and I agree with that. I think she did a really good job too.
I'm not saying that it's really fun to see people go through terrible things and be drunk and come on to teenage boys. That's not what I meant.
Right. But, you know, we haven't hit 40 yet, so.
That's true. So,
I was going to say, you guys just need to wait about 15, 20 years.
Cheers to that.
I'm just going to say that I think, honestly, her best performance is obviously Superstar, but this is definitely a hot second, so.
Oh, my God. We're looking at the photos, and she doesn't look anything like Anel, by the way.
Oh, you guys are wrong. You guys are so.
You're the most wrong people that have ever wronged.
Yeah. Like, wrongity, wrongity.
Well,
maybe my nose. The nose is
the eyebrows.
Yeah, everything.
The face mostly.
I don't see it.
My God, you're nuts. Even like when she was talking, I was like, it's a no.
Hmm. Yeah, she said something sassy like, are you done? And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Is she actually playing this role?
Yeah. Even know that you were into acting, so that's like really cool.
Yeah,
well,
congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm glad you think of me that way.
I think it's the hair.
I do talk
to
Eric like that though.
Yeah,
I'm like, are you done?
Should.
That's true.
You done being sassafras over there?
Maybe it's the hair that sort of threw me off because the hair is much different. So
okay, well, whatever you need to tell yourself, but you're
that's why I didn't identify
secretly
it.
Secretly acting in movies, and you should probably get on wherever that money's coming from.
Good joke.
Probably true.
Yeah.
Strauss, did you ever say what you overall thought of the film?
I haven't yet.
Okay, what did you think?
I liked it.
Yes?
I liked the end when we were crying like ugly babies.
Oh, yes.
And Eric said, you better not die.
I told her not to get sick, is what I told her.
Okay. You can die.
Just don't get sick.
He said something.
I don't
want to
have to, like, take care of you.
I mean, yeah, there's, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever
he's
can
like,
happen,
you better
but
not get
yeah,
sick. And
better
we
not.
Just ugly yeah. cried and hugged and.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping he was telling the truth with her not dying because I was like not in the mood to cry.
Oh yeah.
And I knew as soon as she did, I was like just lost it.
That is true because this was a movie where you know it does say me and Earl and the dying girl.
Sure. Right. Like I knew it was happening. I was just a little glimmer of hope that maybe she wouldn't.
And so when we were thinking about watching it, Anel had said, you know what, I'm not in the mood to watch that. And
yeah.
I said, well, that's tough because I got it from Redbox, so it's going back tomorrow. So
yeah,
I'm either right. watching it or you're just not seeing it. So
yeah.
Sucks, Travis.
So, it happened.
Yeah, and so, you know, when it starts out and it's all lighthearted and he says, you know, that she doesn't die and it's an indie movie. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll go along with that. Maybe she doesn't actually die.
Right? Maybe she gets better.
Yeah. I got better.
Okay, this
got better.
Sent me. Is she the one with the dark hair?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that looks like me.
Okay.
You had to ask?
Oh, wait a minute. We're talking about we're talking about somebody different then. I thought you were talking about the dying girl.
No, we're talking about the hot chick.
Okay, well that's completely different then.
That
looks exactly like you.
I totally missed it because I was like, the dying girl? She doesn't look like her at all.
No.
Yeah, we pulled up pictures of her and I was like, I don't...
You're right. That was a miscommunication.
Okay, now this girl definitely looks like her.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm actually making a side-by-side, and I'll send it to you shortly.
I was just going to send you a picture of myself to, like...
That's really funny. Okay, so let's talk about Earl and how he's hilarious, and how they're not friends, they're co-workers.
Yes. What about Earl's brother? He is the best.
Oh my god, like, I don't know, like, he just the whole concept of Earl is, like, funny to me. Like, I'm gonna come eat your squid, like, whatever, I'm going to your parents' house to eat all of their food, and, like, just the whole relationship that they have together is really funny.
Also, we have gone a long ways without talking about Ron Swanson in a movie.
Oh,
right.
Oh my god, Ron Swanson with bangs.
He was so good.
And a cat.
With a cat, which is hilarious that he's got a...
And all of his exotic food.
Yes.
Oh my god, yeah, he's like,
I love that they just take the food with no question and eat it.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, ugh, tastes gross or whatever.
Right.
Oh, Katie.
You guys got that one, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you do look like her.
Alright, okay. Alright.
It's funny that you guys didn't notice that before.
Well, especially because we were thinking of somebody different.
We weren't talking about the same person.
That's very true. That's pretty funny.
Oh, I was talking about you and Earl.
Yeah.
Damn it!
Oh, that's funny. Also, we should mention that the crazy mom who... Until about 5 minutes ago, I could have sworn was Laura Linney.
What?
Is not. What?
It's Connie Britton.
It's Connie Britton.
She's on American Horror Story and
Friday Night Lights and all this stuff. And I looked and was like, oh my god, of course it's her.
Yes.
And I don't know why I thought it was Laura Linney.
I think
it was because it was like a sad mother and I was like, oh, Laura Linney, that's for sure her.
Yeah, that sounds
just assumed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's kind of what she's relegated to anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that even those characters, like the parents and everybody was not just like a character. Everyone kind of had their own quirks and everybody was a little bit more interesting than just like a random two-dimensional mom character.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciated that we're doing some fleshing out. And like the fucking history teacher or whatever.
Oh yes.
God.
Yes. Shane or...
Yes.
The Punisher coming up soon.
That's right.
He was great. I thought he was, like, because usually he's kind of like a jerk-off.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I thought he was funny, and a guy that was like, oh man, that'd be cool to work with this dude.
Right. And I was trying to think, like, in high school, because in high school movies, the teachers are either really boring, or, like, they started making teachers really cool, and, like, all I can...
Or sexy.
Right. All I could think of was 10 Things I Hate About You, when the teacher was, like, kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is, like, taking that one to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, not only is he sassy, but he's, like, tattooed from head to toe and doesn't give a shit. So I really appreciated that they put that in there.
Yeah, I like that.
I thought the way that it was, like, directed and filmed was amazing.
Okay.
It was, like, very... I can't even explain it because I don't think I've ever seen something that was, I mean, it was very like, things were like cut in strange ways. Like when he was narrating and they're showing like the side by side of the very Saul Bass-esque posters that were created for the movies.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys have any idea what I'm saying.
Yes.
They like had the side by side of each and they're showing like little films and then, you know, occasionally the camera like turns and like the kid's walking down the sidewalk, but it looked like it's going.
Oh yeah.
Vertical. Like,
yeah.
They had all these different like quirks that I thought were really interesting and I really liked it.
It was a little Wes Anderson-y.
That's what I felt like.
Well, it was Wes Anderson-y without being an asshole about it is what it felt like.
Yes, I agree. It was like fun. It was like fun views without like, honestly, are you looking at this scene or not?
Yeah, right. It's like, look how quirky I am, everyone. Check out how quirky this is.
Right. I thought this definitely worked with the quirkiness of this movie. It, like, Katie's right, it, like, all fused together and made the scenes better, I think.
You know what else I think? What is the, what's the movie that we watched last year that was based on a book that you guys really liked? This Is Where I Leave You or something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I fucking hated that movie, right?
Yeah.
And because all of the other characters were like had some quirk about them, but I didn't ever buy any of it.
Right.
And like freaking pouty Adam Driver or whatever his name is.
Oh yeah, he wasn't my favorite in that anyway. No.
But anyway, so in this, I thought all of them had quirks, but they all seemed either to be written better or performed better or both.
Probably both.
And I was like, okay, I buy all of this, to where I didn't buy any of that.
I can see that.
I can't like put, it's not like something tangible, I don't think. Like, I can't really put my finger on what it was specifically, but it just fit into the world of the movie a little better.
Yeah, it was like kind of like fused in a little bit easier.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know if I really said that or not, but I really, really liked this one. Like, I was really happy with, you know, sometimes towards the end of these movies we've missed, we're kind of like, I don't know, I saw this on a trailer, so I hope it's good, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Or every Rachel pick ever. Mm-hmm. But I was really pleased. I was like, oh, that was pretty freaking good. Like, I'm really happy about that. And I also did like that they chose not to have a film at the end that represented her. Like, it was just an abstract piece of art.
So, like, it didn't have to show the entirety of the movie. Like, they showed them watching it, and it was whatever, like, they interpreted it as.
It wasn't like The Ring.
God.
Comes Samara at the end, and then she...
Right? Yeah. Like, some shit going on. And I watched this on the computer while Brad was watching some golfing, whatever, sporting things. And I was crying so, like, ugly or weirdly that he, like, came over and asked me, like, what was wrong. Because he thought that I had experienced a horrible, traumatic life event. He's like, look at me. What is wrong? And I'm like, this is a movie. And he's like, what happens? And I'm like, I point to, like, the dying part and dying girl, and he's like, oh my God, are you serious right now? And I'm like, you know what? Don't even talk to me. You don't know. You didn't watch.
You didn't just feel this whole
You're not thing. Experiencing what I'm experiencing.
Ugh, I hate feelings, and you made me do it, and it pisses me off.
I mean, I will say that I read Fault in My Stars, and I watched the movie, and it's just one of those things that, you know, like you said, they're trying to get you to cry. The one thing I will say about Fault in My Stars, I mean, super easy read, you know, but it tried to bring humor and a little lightheartedness, but it got really dark. And I almost felt like this movie was like poking fun at that movie. Like, I know that you did this and you made everybody really sad, but I'm going to do it and make it way better than Fault in My Stars and not make everyone cry through the entirety of it, but they'll cry eventually.
All right.
Not that I felt like they were like, let's make a movie to make this movie look like shit or like make fun of it. But you know, it's hard not to compare the two. You have a teenage kid in high school who has some form of cancer or terminal disease. It's, you know, those are the first two things that are pretty recent that are going to come to your mind. So I thought this one was really well done. And I like you said, I liked the banter between the two of them. I liked that it stayed friendship and didn't develop into romantic feelings. Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was well done
overall. Yeah, I liked it that they didn't get along all the time, and it wasn't just like one real big falling out moment like you typically would see.
Right.
You know, like, it just seemed like they would have kind of good days and bad days like most people would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Agreed. And I mean, like, we haven't talked about Thomas Mann. Is that his name?
Thomas Mann.
The lead guy. Like, I thought he was really good. And I like, LOL'd when he's like, I know I'm not handsome and my mom told me I was for so long and I know that she's a liar now and I can't trust anybody. I was like, losing my shit.
Yep, you were.
What did you bookworms think about her cutting up the books?
Yeah, I thought Rachel would lose her shit over that.
Man.
I didn't like that, I'll tell you.
I did think she was justified in the fact that it was her father's books who left. But the thing is her mom was like, yeah, she just went crazy. She started cutting up his books. When really, it's not like she cut them up to shreds, which how she made it sound.
Yeah.
She was making art with them, you know. It wasn't like she just cut all the pages out.
Yeah, right. I didn't make that connection for a second. I was like, oh, this is a weird new thing that we didn't know about. And then I'm like, oh, no, we talked about scissors earlier.
And then she had scissors, like, hanging in her... It took me a long time to figure out what those were.
Oh, right? Above her bed.
I feel like he occasionally would sit in front of that, like, wall.
Yeah.
And then she had a bunch of those scissors. And then the squirrel jumping in the trees, and then her going to the forest. Oh, for the love of God.
Right.
All the things.
Seriously.
Quit tying it all together for me. I fucking get it.
Oh, that is good. Okay. Anything else about that film?
No, it's a good one. Good pick.
Yeah.
Definitely one for people to check out. It is, you know, just a little indie movie that I'm sure could use the support.
We should buy it.
Yeah, we should buy it. Before moving on to our second two films, we should mention that Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. So go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. So our next film was from August of 2015. It is Rachel's selection, and it is Z for Zachariah.
For over a year. My dad told us he can't leave the valley. As long as we stay here, we'd be protected.
Hey! Get out of there!
Who are you?
You just need to get out of the water, please.
Get out of the water!
The water's contaminated.
Gotta be an explanation. It's just crazy this is still here.
Why are you doing the work my hand can't drive this?
Ran out of gas. Pumps don't run without electricity.
Oh, you can get it to work manually.
Hey! It worked!
Really means something that you think in long term for us. I want things to be good between us.
It's okay, because we got time.
Mean you no harm, ma'am. My name's Caleb.
Hey! No, it's all right.
This guy could be anybody for all we know.
This valley survived like you and I did because we have faith.
So what's your plan? I've seen the way that you look at each other. If you need to figure it out, figure it out.
I found out a lot of stuff about you.
I was sick of being on my own.
Jealousy doesn't suit you, sir.
I love you.
You fancy a wager?
In the wake of a disaster that wipes out most of civilization, like literally most, two men and a young woman find themselves in an emotionally charged love triangle as the last known survivors.
Which is kind of a spoiler.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of
literally tells the entire movie.
I mean,
for like the last 5 minutes.
That's true. Okay, so Cruz, tell me about have you read this book? Did you just find this on a list, or how did you come about this one?
Yeah, it was a list. I mean, I was doing research. I was like looking at them, and I'm like, that one doesn't look good. And I was like, oh, Chris Pine, blah blah blah. this is like a good one.
Margot Robbie, she's supposed to be a big deal soon, so.
Yeah. And I thought that everyone in here did a good job. I'm just gonna tell you that I did a lot of eye rolling during this film. I was not excited about a lot of things going on, but.
Okay.
And I found out that in the book, it's just two people.
Yeah.
Love triangle, and I was like, oh my god. So like, immediately you can understand how annoyed I was that they're trying to pull that bullshit with me, but You know, I always love, like, this is really gonna make me sound horrible, but I always love, like, apocalyptic disaster movies, because I always want to know, like, the ideas that the writer had, like, you know, why we wiped ourselves out and how it happened and what, you know, what the backlash is about it. And so, like, I'm always interested in that. And I thought that this was kind of an interesting take on that. And I thought it started out, you know, really well, and it was interesting, and there was a dog, so boom, like that. I don't know, and I thought the performances were okay, but I was just not feeling it, I guess.
You had problems with this one, huh?
Yeah.
Is it? I figured you picked it because it had Chiwetel Ejiofor in it.
I like him, actually. He's legit.
Yeah, he is good.
I mean, like I said, the acting on all four, including the dog, was really good, so that wasn't the problem. I think it was just, I don't know.
Just had some issues, okay.
Yeah.
Katie, what did you think?
Z for zero.
Oh, whoa. Oh, hilarious.
I did not like this. It was the shortest one, I think, shortest movie length that we picked.
Probably, yeah.
And it took the longest. I was like, when will this ever be over? I did not believe any of the characters. Like, you know, I had a really hard time with Chris Pine's character. You know, I do love him. I have a picture of him at my desk because he's a beautiful man. But I didn't believe that his character was strong enough for her to all of a sudden fall in love and feel like any sort of attachment to him. I just did not like this at all.
I thought she was attached. Like, my take on it was that, like, he was, like, from the valley and was, like, nearby and was a little bit, like, maybe less...
less black?
No. That's not what I was gonna say. Like, less scary because, like, he had that, like, frightening moment where he, like, when he was drinking, he, like, kind of scared her a little bit, and I feel like she was a little more tentative around him.
Uh-huh.
And so, this, like, you know, Chris Pine comes along, and he's just like, well, thank you kindly, and doesn't have, like, he's a lot more simple, so he doesn't
have... He was really, like, sinister and trying to undermine the entire time.
Yeah, but I don't think she saw
that. She wasn't smart enough to pick that up.
Right, but, like, she was like, oh, we're just being nice, and immediately he's like, what are you just gonna let him sleep, like, down the hall from us? Like, we don't know this guy at all, and so...
Yeah,
like,
he could kill
I think that he was, that's exactly right, but, like, she wasn't seeing that at all.
Yeah.
Sure.
And Chiwetel Ejiofor definitely was like, well, of course you like him because he's younger and he's a white guy.
Yeah.
Right?
I liked that he was, like, aware of what was going on and just like, okay, I'm just going to let these youngins do their thing.
Yeah, because he was talking about, you guys can go and have your white babies and that's fine.
Well, right. He said, like, experiment if you want to or go, I don't know what he said, what he was trying to pull with that, but, I mean, like, he got what he...
Well, but I also feel like the weird thing is, you know, he Ted Mosby's her and tells her that he loves her, you know, trying to, like, jump the gun on the other guy.
Right.
And he's drunk and kind of passes out, and she wakes him up like she's kind of looking to get some, and he doesn't wake up, so then she goes and finds the other guy. So I don't even know that it was, like, an attachment thing initially. I don't know. I didn't understand a lot of those little things. I wrote down that they should just Eiffel Tower and get it over with.
Oh my
with.
God, I said Eiffel Tower verbatim. We are totally sisters.
Yeah, that is, but, I was describing what that was to an elder.
Oh, got it.
I was nice. Like, what is that?
You don't know, look it up on Urban Dictionary.
Don't just Google it, though, and hit images.
Yes. I probably will.
I also...
Not on my shit.
On Eric's school.
Right. God.
Bad idea. I'd be like, no, the kids were just saying that. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I just did not really enjoy this one. I think the other really probably too soon inappropriate joke was if it was Flint, Michigan.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Water.
Yeah.
Gross.
Funny.
Okay, well, over here, I think we had a better reaction than you guys did anyway. Strauss, what did you think of the movie?
Well, like, halfway through, or not even halfway, because it wasn't very long, like, 20 minutes in, because she meets him pretty early, and I was like, I hope this stays just cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was like, I don't want any kind of drama with them not getting along. I just want them to figure things out.
A cute little, like, we're going to save the world and have a community and make babies and grow this garden, and this will be fun.
Yeah, almost like The Martian, in that I don't want any sort of, like, interpersonal drama. I just want some obstacle to happen and them to try to solve the problem.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I just wanted a simple little movie.
Yeah. And Chris Pine got introduced.
Yeah.
Right. Well, in the book, you know, I mean, the book, I don't know how it goes, but it must have worked out okay. I think probably their problem there was maybe, like, her giving up the church and them having to talk through it.
Yeah.
I thought Eric said that.
Yeah, in the book, they, this is just from the synopsis that I've read, but
okay.
I believe that it is just the two of them, but I believe that they are very untrusting of each other because she is very disturbed at how he got to their place. And she believes that he murdered someone that he was underground with.
Oh, okay.
And tells that story. And so she's always kind of keeps him at an arm's length in that he's a murderer and she can't reconcile with that.
Okay. You know,
she can't deal with that. And so it is very much more about their relationship that is up and down, and they trust each other than they don't. And it has a little bit of the end of The Shining type stuff where they steal the keys from each other and throw them away and that kind of thing.
Oh, really?
And try to get away from each other. And that's sort of the plot that I've read up on just a little bit.
Interesting.
Since there's no third person as there is in the film, it's like, well, what the hell?
Right. I mean,
what's the book going to be, you know?
Got it.
And I guess getting into what I thought about it is I kind of thought it was the road for kids a little bit. Like, we just have these two people and it's mostly about them. And I hadn't done, you know, the research yet. And I was like, oh, okay, this is just like a little kid's version of The Road. Like, how do we survive? And it's just the two of us. And it was kind of going along okay. And I was sort of bothered by her Midwestern yokel sort of accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not really how people sound. And even if they do, they're not people that should be on like a movie.
Right.
You know, it's like, just because your character sounds like that doesn't mean that that's what I need to listen to for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but, once we got Chris Pine in there, I was okay, I guess. I was just like, oh, okay, we're just gonna do the love triangle thing.
I felt really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was just like, no, you're gonna fuck this up.
Yeah, it's like, this is, I don't know, like I was just kind of blah about it, I guess. And
yeah,
I thought it was okay. Like, I mean, I thought it was okay. I didn't have as negative a reaction as you two, I don't think. But I wasn't put off by it, but I was just kind of like, all right, well, that was okay. Like, I did like the way that they, you know, getting into the ending, I did like the way that they did that and didn't make it, you know, explicitly clear what happened.
Right.
And I did like that they kind of tried faking you out a little bit by having the guy slip and him catch him once.
And it's then he like, slips again. If you're going to slip again, it's your own fucking fault.
Yeah.
Oh my right. God.
Like, fuck you if you're good.
It's in, like, the suit from Back to the Future that he wears out of the DeLorean. Like,
he looks like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Space Sonic the Hedgehog, yes.
The DeLorean, yeah, that is when he goes to 1955 and he's got the fucking uranium thing on, yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
Did you call that then at the end? Like, were you like, oh, he's like gonna...
Well, it seemed really clear at first that he was going to let him go.
The first time, yeah.
And then when he pulls him up.
Contact.
Yeah, he pulls him up and I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. And then he slips again and then we cut away and I was like, oh, he's dead.
Right.
You know, and what's funny is you look at IMDb and you look at the little message board thread down there and it's like, did he kill him? Did he kill him? It's like, are you stupid? Of course he killed him. Like, what the hell do you think?
Right.
Did you watch the movie?
Yeah.
No, he obviously didn't walk to some...
No, they shook hands and he said, you know what, bro, you can take her. I'm just going to take the suit.
Yeah.
And I'll be on my way.
Yeah.
Now that you just made energy.
Right.
I'm gonna leave.
Yeah. So I didn't particularly like their, like when she goes to Chris Pine in the bathroom. Like I was not a fan of that.
You didn't like the sink action?
No. Because I think in the book she's supposed to be really young. I think she's supposed to be like 14 or 15.
Yeah, that's gross.
And so I was like,
Yeah, the why is she so... Like,
they're both really attractive, and if Chris Pine happened to be taking a bath at my house, I would definitely be in there.
And what's funny is this is, you know, all three of them don't look like they look in other films. You know, they look a little rougher.
Yeah.
But they really made her look rough. Like, she looks much better in the other films or trailers, I guess I should say.
Right? Well, I mean, like, isn't that how it works? Like, it's like a very less extreme version of, like, Charlize Theron when she played Monster.
You know what's funny is that's the, like, as you began that sentence, I thought Charlize Theron in Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, normally super gorgeous, so make me look like a dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she supposedly almost died, so I'm sure she isn't supposed to look that good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, in the winter?
Yeah.
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 Can you imagine just sitting in that house, like, with no energy and with some blankets around you and some fire?
I don't know, that sounds all right.
Running out of food. Yeah, I was just
saying. Yeah, I don't know, that sounds all right.
No,
yeah,
but, like,
dog. Yeah, that's okay.
They're, like, out of food, and then what if she ran, you know, like, she could have froze to death.
Well, they didn't say anything about all the books going away, so.
Right.
What about the religious connotation? Like, it doesn't specifically say...
A for Adam.
It does have the A for Adam in the library, but it's, you know, that's kind of the extent of it. I would imagine that the book version where it's just has, you know, the Adam and the Eve characters.
Right.
To where here it's just this Caleb character that I don't know I don't know how that fits in as much with the biblical connotations, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. For someone who's pretty religious, she sure did bang somebody in her bathroom, but...
No shit. And she was a little hoary about going back and forth, like, worse than Pearl Harbor.
Oh my god. Things I never thought would be brought up. Pearl Harbor.
Worse than Pearl Harbor. The only thing that's worse than that is Old Boy.
Woo. Right. Yeah, that would have been a twist if it was like if he was the dad somehow.
Gross. Gross.
Well, she's gonna have a little white baby and then...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that with just one female that it would actually work out anyway, so.
Right. Yeah. So does she, like, forgive him at the end, or, like, I guess I didn't really understand
Well, no. She thinks that Caleb just left.
Right.
So there's nothing to forgive.
But I mean, like, she seems pretty down in the dumps a little bit.
Well, yeah, because he just boned her and then he left. So yeah, she's bummed out.
But it's not like she doesn't have anything. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to stop making comments because I really didn't like it.
Well, I mean, like, between the two of them, I wouldn't kick either of them out. So it's not like she got, like, a really bad consolation prize or anything, so.
Right.
Well, yeah, he's definitely there to, he's trying to, you know, make things work and make a civilization work. But it's like, you know, they should have been somewhat excited about a different gene pool to be introduced with a third person if they're actually going to make some kind of civilization.
Right.
If you're going to make a civilization, you sleep with the John Loomis guy because then your babies will be beautifully colored.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
They have that beautiful caramel coloring like our nephews, and that's how you should start.
Yep. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't know how it would have worked, though, because they would have had to have, I don't know, they would have had to have just Loomis, and then Chris Pine would have had to somehow wait around to sleep with the guy's daughter or something to actually make it work out.
Either way, I think they're screwed.
Yeah, so, I don't know that it's going to work out real well for them.
No matter what.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, honestly, if anything, nobody should have a kid, because they'll be like, sorry, when we die, you are by yourself.
Seriously.
Here's this world that I've decided to bring you into, by the way.
Yeah.
You can only live in this valley.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, we used to have this thing called Netflix. It was awesome.
It was amazing.
We had iPhones and shit.
Yeah. And I'm sure that generator, you know, the wood on that wheel is going to just last forever. So have fun with that.
Well, so. The kids just had the job of getting metal and getting plastic and, you know.
Right.
Here's your task.
Here's your task.
That's it. Okay, so I think we thought it was okay. I feel like the former Cruises didn't like it that much.
I think Katie did not enjoy it the most. I was kind of meh the whole time, I guess. I was watching it. I was just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I felt it was very anticlimactic. Like, mm-hmm. The big reveal of him killing her brother happened too early.
Yeah.
And I didn't care about it.
Yeah, and
I didn't
either. That and it was, she called that, and I was just kind of like, all right. You know, it's right. Like.
When he was looking at his picture in the photo album, and I was like, oh, he killed him.
Yeah.
Or yeah. He knows him. And so it was kind of like, yeah, I agree that you're right, but so.
Hand it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. Okay. Anything else about that one before we move on to our last film? No? Okay. No. Our last film. This is an L's pick, and this came out in October in limited release, I believe, but it is Room.
Truck. Wiggle out. Jump. Run. Somebody.
I'm scared.
I know. I'm gonna be there in your head talking to you the whole time.
Truck. Wiggle out. Jump when the truck slows down. Run. Somebody.
You all right?
Jack, listen to me. This is our chance.
Thank you for letting us do this interview. We're grateful to hear your story.
Thank you to everyone who sent their good thoughts and their prayers.
For 5 years, you made life in that small room, that prison, as nurturing and normal as you could.
Mom, I'm 5.
You're 5.
So old now.
You are so old now.
Yep.
Hey, do you know what we're going to do today?
What?
We are going to bake a birthday cake. You chose to tell Jack that Room was the whole world, that there was nothing else.
Good morning, lamp.
Good morning, plant. Good morning, sink.
I wanted him to feel safe and that it was a great place for him to live.
Did you ever think you would be free?
I hoped.
Hello, Jack.
Thanks for saving our little girl.
Same one, just a different spot.
No matter how sweet the
storm, I've been in the world 37 hours.
That's us.
We push.
I've seen windows and hundreds of cars and birds and grandma and grandpa.
Jack, someone here would like to meet you.
Will he find us?
No. He will never find us.
Everyone keeps asking, are we okay?
You have no idea what's going on in my head!
Yeah, well, try me!
And every time you look at me, that's all that you see?
When I look at you, Joy, I will see my daughter.
You're gonna love it.
What?
The world.
Room tells the extraordinary story of Jack, a spirited 5-year-old who is looked after by his loving and devoted mother. Like any good mother, Ma dedicates herself to keeping Jack happy and safe, nurturing him with warmth and love and doing typical things like playing games and telling stories. Their life, however, is anything but typical. They are trapped, confined to a 10-by-10-foot space that Ma has euphemistically named Room. Ma has created a whole universe for Jack within Room, and she will stop at nothing to ensure that even in this treacherous environment, Jack is able to live a complete and fulfilling life. But as Jack's curiosity about their situation grows and Ma's resilience reaches its breaking point, they enact a risky plan to escape, ultimately bringing them face to face with what may turn out to be the scariest thing yet, the real world. Road Rules Challenge.
Okay, so Strauss, what made you pick this film?
I'm pretty sure we saw it on a preview.
Yes.
Yes. It might have been on the same preview as Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl, actually.
It could have been.
Because we were like, oh, these are both good.
Yeah, these both look like they'd be all right.
And then I spoke to someone at work about it before
we watched
it.
It was either work or school or something.
No, it was work. Okay. And she had said that she had started reading the book Room, and it was so sad that she stopped reading it.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, we need to pick it. Like, let's do it. And so
you guys are haters.
I was like, and we picked this before she became an Oscar-winning...
Yeah, before Brie Larson won, sure.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, that's why I picked it.
Okay. What did you think of it, Strauss?
Well, I thought it was deserved that she got that...
That she won the Oscar win. For it, sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I had a lot of, like, oh, I hope I'm that good of a mom with Anna. You know, like, just... She devotes her whole day, like, we're going to run track, and...
We're going to bounce back and forth in, like, this four-foot area.
We're going to make this caterpillar out of eggshells, and she was, like, super mom for her situation. My one little thing that I did write down out of all of these was when she has her gone days.
Yeah.
She was just laying in bed all day, and I was like, oh, I can relate to that.
Seriously.
Sometimes I wish I had a gone day. And then he was really cute because he tried to turn her back on with a remote. But it didn't work. But I don't know. I thought this was a great film. And then when she comes out and they're in the real world and she's actually having to deal with things and she's like looking at herself as a real mother compared to other people, she just breaks down and her real depression comes out. Because obviously... when she's having her gone days, you know, she's feeling depression, you know, obviously she's in a room, but then when she's out in the real world, it shows that she's being depressed for more than a couple days. Like 2 weeks is like clinical depression. So it shows that she's going through that. And then I don't know. It was really good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Older Cruz, what did you think?
There were obviously, like Anel said, a lot of things going on. And I mean, it was good. It's not like I'm going to buy this movie because I never want to watch it ever again. But, like, just a lot of things, like, being horrified at their initial situation, like, every single aspect of it, and just having feelings about that. And my heart was pounding. I'm like, you get out of that goddamn rug. Like,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Super ballsy plan, and like all you want is for that kid to find somebody, like anybody, and he doesn't know what's going on because he's five. And I just thought it was really interesting, like how she's trying to get him to understand that they're trapped in a room, and like, you know, how she uses the TV to tell him that that's like real life. I thought that was kind of a really interesting, you know, how she did that. And and then honestly, like, you can see from his perspective how going back into that room seems like a better idea than being out where he is, where it's, like, bright and awful and people, you know, like, all these other things. But, like, it's really good to see him go through the transition where, you know, like, he, you know, figures out that there are great things out, you know, outside of there, too. And when he finally cuts his hair, my God. So like you can see, it's almost like, you know, he blossoms and she retreats afterward, probably because honestly, like, she'd just been holding her shit together for 7 years and she finally had the breakdown that she deserved. But, it was super poignant. Like I liked it a lot. Just the, everything about how that struggle would even happen and, you know, going in depth about it. And he was really good. As a little kid, I read an IMDb somewhere that he couldn't bring himself to yell. And so, like, the whole cast and crew had to jump up and down and scream so he could do it.
Yell about what?
The candles for not having the birthday cake right.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I liked it. It's definitely one that's going to stick with you for a while because you don't really forget a lot of those scenes. So,
All right. Katie, what did you think?
I thought it was really well done. I did like this. Like Rachel said, this is not something that I'm gonna be watching like every rainy day or anything. but she deserves the award for not killing that kid.
gruesome. Like, you're trapped in one room with a little kid for every minute of every day. Yeah. Like, especially, like, if you have a baby, you're not only being held captive and, you know, being raped nightly, but, like, you could develop, I don't know, depression and, you know, panic and kill your kid. Like, good job, lady, for not doing that. Our internet cut out halfway through this movie, and it was right when the kid got out on the rug and was, like, carrying him out. And so a big part of my notes is Cox is the worst. Cox is the cable company. But I, like, frantically trying to find any way to get it back, and we finally did. It took a while, but God, that was awful. So I spent, like, too long being panicked, waiting to see what was going to happen, because I had a little bit of a mishap. But I think she deserved everything that she got for this movie. It was, you know, I think once they got out, I sort of was able to predict, like, the end. I knew that, you know, it was too early that they got out, that something else was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, something's going to be said where she, like, isn't able to take care of the child, or, mm-hmm. you know, something about her sanity is going to be in question. And, you know, Missy watched this with me, my roommate. She, read the book. And so she was sort of the one that was giving me all of the feedback. And she said most of it was true. The one difference was that the mother never came home from the hospital.
Oh.
To, like, go back. And so the kid was all, like, you know.
Oh no, that would have not worked with me.
And
that
so.
It is so much worse.
Yeah. So. The other part is that the book is entirely from the child's point of view, so you don't, so she said some of the things were a little harder to understand until later when you were sort of able to piece things together. So, yeah, and it's hard to do that in a movie because you do have, like, all of these other characters, but there were some of the things that she's like, oh, I guess I didn't quite get that because, you know, a little kid's trying to tell it and not just any little kid, like a sheltered one. So I thought that was interesting, but.
Huh. Well, I guess I'm glad I know that. I saw the movie, because I don't know if I would have enjoyed if they would have tried to make it a direct representation.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, if the mom didn't come home.
I don't like that at all.
Huh.
Yeah. Like, yeah. She was, like, still under psych evaluation. Mizzy said the other hard thing about it was that, you know, the way that he talked about the room, because she made it be a place as opposed to, like, a thing. That's the way it was written. And so she's like, it's a little hard to understand because normally you'd be like, go to the wardrobe, and he would say, go to wardrobe. And some of the writing was a little difficult. But yeah, I'm glad I watched the movie. I thought it was good. That kid's hair was amazing.
Wow. He looked like a tiny rock star.
Right?
So for me, for this movie, I didn't know anything about this. And first of all, I didn't even know that it was a little boy. I thought it was a little girl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense.
And for so right away, I was like, what an ugly, oh, that's a boy.
Good.
You know, so that was a little interesting for me at first. But I did really enjoy it in that I felt like it was really well made and well crafted. And I would echo everyone else in saying that I don't think that this is something that I'm going to be seeking to experience again.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because it was so well done. And I do think that, you know, Brie Larson deserves, you know, all the awards that she gets for this. And I'm glad that she was the one who ultimately was cast, because there were other people like Emma Watson, like Mia Wasikowska, like other people that are more identifiable to me that were up for this role. And I think it's really important for me in this role to be someone that I don't recognize, because she was completely this mother to me. It wasn't, oh, I'm watching a person perform a role.
Yeah. She did seem so much like a mother.
Yeah. It was like, this is who this person is. And they're just documenting her being on screen, because until they get out and you see William H. Macy and you see Joan Allen, I was like, I don't know any of these people. I don't know who they are. And so it's easier for me to identify with the characters they're portraying.
Okay.
And I was also, since I, you know, didn't know anything about it, I was like, holy shit, they got out. You know, because I just assumed that the movie was going to be in the room.
Oh.
You know, I didn't know that they were going to get out. And I thought it was going to be, you know, kind of like the movie Tape and some other films where you're in one location and it's, you know, it's set like a play would be set.
Right.
And you don't leave. And I was like, okay, that we're just going to be in this place. And once they got out, I was like, holy shit. And I was a little thrown off because I was like, well, now I don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. I think in the trailer, like, I saw her, you know, like, they make it have, like, a scene where they're outside, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, on. And I think I remember seeing them. I remember seeing that, too,
but then when we watched the movie, I didn't remember that.
I think I remember just seeing, like the truck driving off or something. And I was like, oh, that must be the last scene where they get out.
Oh,
I know the way that I took it.
Got it. Yeah, I didn't think they were going to get out as early. And we used to watch, Brie Larson was in The United States of Tara.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah, and I mean, that show's been off the air for a long time, but like, that's the first time I saw her, and so I've known of her for a long time, and she hasn't really had a lot of big roles, but, so like, even knowing, you know, and seeing her in other things, it definitely didn't take away anything from what I saw in this movie either.
Yeah, and I know her big breakout role was in Short Term 12, which came out last year. Well, it came out in 2014, I believe.
Okay.
And she got a lot of attention for that. And that's supposed to be very good, about kind of like a caseworker.
Okay.
To where it's, you know, in the similar vein to where she's trying to help people that don't really want help or can't get help based on their situation or what have you.
Probably want to see that
one. Yeah, that's definitely a one for Strauss for sure. But
yeah.
But yeah, so that it was a movie that I was really sort of knocked off center about watching this, because I was, you know, where I think it was Katie that had said once they got out, you were able to predict a lot of the things that were going to happen. Like, I was so sure that they weren't going to leave the room that I was like, holy shit, I have no idea. Like,
what happens next?
Yeah, like, I am completely thrown off guard. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
And I thought he was going to run away.
Yeah, and so I just sat and was like, just kind of immersed in it, and wasn't really guessing, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah. My favorite scene that, where I thought she like acted the best, was when he actually gets out and she has that moment of like, oh shit, our plan worked.
Mm.
And you just see the tears welling up, and she's just so wide eyed and just crazed and like, okay.
Now what?
Yeah. I thought that was a really good scene.
Yeah, she was excellent. I think in the sequences where the little boy is just freaking out and screaming and running around in this little confined area, and she's losing her mind and then has to sort of get her shit together and can't just freak out on him the entire movie. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, this is my nightmare right here.
Seriously.
Yeah. And they made
to go get a mani pedi. You're just gonna have to sit here.
They no made wine.
The room feel so big, like when they were shooting it with them in there. Because when they came back to room and saw it again, they showed how small it really was, mm-hmm. and it did feel so small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when he even made that comment, mm-hmm. did it get? He said, did they shrink it? Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this was one where it's kind of like, dang, that was well made. I want nothing to do with it, though.
Yeah, that was intense. So. It's like the Beast of No Nation, which I'll never watch again either.
Yeah. Or the go-to is Requiem, right?
No, I won't let anyone watch that movie. Unless my kid comes home with, like, a cigarette, and I'll be like, have a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good one. And then Blue Valentine Cruise is one.
No, I hate that movie.
I think that's really good.
Depressing as hell. William H. Macy not looking, like, I wanted to slap his.
Oof. Not looking at the kid.
Whatever.
I mean, I said that too. I was like, what a dick. Like, this is your grandchild.
you know, like they've been confined to this space, you know, and then it sort of airs out that there were some problems prior to her being kidnapped. Mm-hmm. But
with the,
you know,
mom and dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, cause
mom and dad and the daughter, like the relationship between all three, like she was trying to run, she tried to run away or whatever was going on. And I said that like really pissed me off. And, Missy was the one to point out like, well, like from his perspective, this is a child that she had, she was raped every night, mm-hmm. being held captive. So imagine like how difficult that would be to like have to love something that's half this other person, you know?
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, I don't know. Like
I mean, both sides aren't, yeah. I'm not saying that it was okay for him to say that, but I guess I was like, whatever.
At right. first I was so confused. I thought maybe he had raped her before she had gotten taken. I was just like, how could you not? Like, what, is this your love child? Like,
yeah,
what?
It just did not compute.
Like, what? Why?
And what was weird was I was under the impression when it first started and he was in there, I was like, oh, well, she's way too young. There's no way that this kid is hers. So right. I was under the impression that this little boy was kidnapped, or once I found out it was a boy, that he was kidnapped and just thrown in there to be with her, and she was like a surrogate mother.
Oh, I didn't feel that at all.
Until she started breastfeeding?
Yeah and then I was like, oh, okay.
No, I never felt that once. Come on, babe.
Well?
So, like, we were trying to figure that out. Was she, like, 17 when she got taken?
Yeah, so she was 17 when she was kidnapped. She had the kid when she was 19, because she was 24 when she got out.
Okay, that was my question about that.
Guys, the math checks out.
Math checks out. The other thing was that awful reporter that was, like, a giant, giant
bitch.
She was
asking really weird questions.
So why didn't you kill yourself?
Right.
Fuck you.
Are you thinking about it now?
Because now I want to.
And like, did you ever think about maybe giving your child away so he could have a better life because your life is shit? No.
Yeah. I was really uncomfortable with her questions.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
I wonder why having... I'm just trying to think of why you would put that. Are those lines in there just to lead her to try to commit suicide?
Maybe that was setting it up.
Yeah, because
otherwise, like, it's just so random and dumb.
And I don't think that if, like, say this were a true story, someone gets out and they're being interviewed, what reporter is going to be ballsy enough
or allowed
and sensitive enough to say something like that?
Because they're supposed to, like, go through the questions before the interview.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it's just like the Tonight Show or whatever, where they go through them before and practice their answers and all that shit.
Yeah, and they say, like, don't ask me about this. And I didn't really think that it was in her character to do an interview like that either.
Well, she didn't want to. She was doing it because they needed money for the lawyers.
Oh, okay. And I didn't get that part.
All those things, yeah. That was said. And there she was like, just do one interview and we'll be fine.
But William H. Macy has that money from selling cars up in, you know, in Fargo.
Yeah.
Oh, in Fargo.
Yeah. I thought his wife was dead. That's why they were having problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
That explains a lot more.
Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we just said.
Strauss is looking at her phone, so she doesn't.
Oh,
She's researching, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right. So. Of course.
Okay, so what would we say were the ones that were our most favorite out of these four? How about in terms of, like, as a film, in quotes, not just ones you'd want to rewatch?
I don't know. I thought Room covered a lot and did, like Katie said, did a good job of being a movie, but... Yeah, I definitely would not want to rewatch this ever.
Yeah.
I would think that Room is the best movie, in quotes.
Right.
And
right.
I would say then Me and Earl, and then Dope, and then Z for Zechariah.
Yep. That would be what I would order them as well.
But as far as, like, me ever watching another movie on this list, it would be Me and Earl.
I would say Dope, probably.
And Dope. Yeah. I like Dope.
I'd watch those two again. The other two not.
Yeah.
I would definitely watch Z for Zachariah.
You would just watch the scene where Chris Pine opens the door with the towel on.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to watch Me and Earl again just so I can figure out that you guys think that Annelle looks like the hot girl.
She does look like that.
And not the main girl.
Yeah.
Now that I got that straight, I'm feeling much better about myself.
That was really interesting, fun conversation.
That was fun.
It was.
Sheesh. All right, well, anything else before we bid adieu?
Say goodbye for a while.
Yeah. No?
You guys say goodbye for a while. Do you guys have any goodbye statements?
Not really. I mean, we already said what we said. I mean, Cruz and I are going to try to record every now and again and just kind of stockpile them up. But the sort of weekly thing just wasn't going to be realistic for me.
Right. We still have some pretty sweet ideas we've been kicking around.
Oh, yeah. I got one of those discs right in our living room right now.
Nice.
So, God. Strauss.
It's not actually ending.
Yeah, it's not ending. I mean, Annelle saw that we were going to be on hiatus, and to her that meant, we just wouldn't be watching movies. Well, little does she know.
Right. She has no idea.
Yeah.
It's not what hiatus means.
That's
hyenas.
Right.
Yeah. Well, hyenas you.
It's probably true.
I don't even know what that means, but I'm intrigued.
I'm super not.
Well,
I'll figure it out.
It goes along with the whole champagne.
Power again and then check it out.
It's a whole day of champagne. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it means. She also doesn't know what the Eiffel Tower thing is, so she's a lot of talk, I think, just stress.
Get a pad and paper. Do a little drawing.
He told me.
Oh. Yeah. Right. Okay, I think, Cruz, we're ready to that. I think we're ready to wrap this one up, Cruiser.
Alrighty. If you have any comments for the show or themes, suggestions, or movies that you would like to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at playinglabelpodcast@gmail.com. If you can follow the show over at Twitter at playinglabelpod, where you can follow us. Eric is at EricWilliams79, and I am at LadyZlag, because I'm a damn lady. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search Plain Label Podcast. We should thank Katie and Nell for coming out, but I don't really feel like it. What about you, Eric?
Nah.
No? All right, cool. No.
These are jerks.
Katie, ooh. If people wanted to get in contact with you besides skywriting, how could they do that?
867-5309.
She's just upset because I'm not saying at
cat
underscore
underscore akism.
Cat underscore akisms.
That's the way it is.
That's very true. And Miss Annelle?
You could watch her next acting role in Me and Earl and the Dying Girl 2.
We don't feel like there's a sequel.
They find a new dying girl.
Oh my god. He turns into Dr. Kevorkian kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But she's at Annelle Elizabeth in case I talked over that.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. That's what
course you did.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with new shows and awesome ideas in a few months, whenever the fuck we're feeling. I mean, in a few months.
I want so much shit. Jump back and I'm on that dreams of Americana. The girl I like one is too bad. So sorry, mommy, but I wanna. So 6 in the morning, ain't rolling with no army, and I got that pink thing on me. Dreams like my money, mommy, can't take it from me, mommy.
I've been waiting in the dark here all night, waiting for some inspiration to pass by. Got my hands shaking violently, my body's right, but that don't concern. Yes, he is a sneakerhead. He packs, man. Just as for his enemies. Yes, he
She's got those power pellets. Wop, 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 energy. Young, black, and I'm on that. Dreams of Americana. Perfect guy that's way too bright. So sorry, mama, but I wanna.
Six in the morning.
Ain't rolling with no army. And he got that pink thing on him. Dreams of the money, mommy. Can't take it from me, mommy.
I've been waiting in the dark here all night. Waiting for some inspiration to pass by. Got my head straight and finally my life right. But that all concern you. It's my turn now. It's my turn now. It's my turn now. It's my world now. It's my turn now. It's my turn now. It's my turn now. It's my world now. It's my turn now.
I know this just leaves you confused. Cause there's forces that's obscene. Okay, the least you can do. Take some time and check on me. The preacher before he judged, walk the yard and say a prayer. Write it on the paper plane. Do me a favor, throw it in the air. You keep saying quit the game. Don't you know we play to win? Racing with my lady friend. Chop chop, throw that shady bean.
So 6 in the morning.
You see them hazards winning. See the way them rims is fitting. Dreams like my money, mommy can't take it from me, mommy. Sorry.
I've been waiting in the dark here all night. Waiting for some inspiration to pass by.